So many things coming off the NFL weekend and heading into the NFL postseason. Oh, by the way, a college championship game as well. There is that. Klay Thompson made his return. There is that. Lots to cover, but before I do anything else, we are joined right now by an NFL.com senior columnist, an NFL Network on-air talent, a Sports Emmy Award winner, a panelist on our daily TV show back in the day. I consider him a good friend of the program. I respect him a lot. Jeff Chidiha is my guest. Jeff, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing, Jim?
Good, dude. Good. Great to hear your voice. Great to have you back. All right, so let me pick my spots here. There's obviously a ton, Jeff, to talk about coming off the weekend and going into the upcoming weekend, but we got to start with last night's game, Chargers-Raiders. What did you make of how that whole thing unfolded, and have you ever seen anything quite like that?
Yeah, I haven't, but it was great for the NFL. It was great theater. Personally, I sat there watching into that game. I was texting with some friends of mine, and I said, Raiders are running out the clock. I mean, they're going to take the tie. Nothing to lose here. They're in the playoffs. And all of a sudden, Brandon Staley does what Brandon Staley does, takes a timeout, kick the field goal, game over. And I know he's taking a ton of heat, and I have to say that I'm on that bandwagon. I feel like I understand what he's trying to do with the Chargers this year. A little too aggressive for my taste, but I also want to give a lot of love to the Raiders, man. It's like I've said all year long, I live in Kansas City. People always talk crap about them, and I said, this team's not going to fall apart. Whatever they go through, they're different tone to them, and they showed out. So congrats to them.
We're talking to Jeff Chidiha. You know, there's a lot in there in that response that I want to get to, but for the Raiders, given how their games, Jeff, went against Kansas City this year, how big of a difference was it to go from facing Kansas City to facing Cincinnati, and was that part of their mindset?
You know, it might have been. I didn't think about that aspect of it, but it's certainly a better setup for them. Now, the Bengals did give the Chiefs all they could handle and beat them. But, yeah, part of me with the Raiders playing the Chiefs both games this season, I thought there was a stubbornness. I think they were so unwilling to change their approach, an approach that has worked for other teams playing the Chiefs this year defensively as far as slowing them down. But I think more so, I think it's just about – I think they wanted to go into the playoffs with some momentum and the belief that they can win games and that they continue to do what they've been doing, which is playing hard, finding ways to win, playing with toughness. I give that head coach, Rich Biasucci, a ton of credit because that team easily could have fallen apart.
Jeff Chidiha is joining us. You know, based on who you've spoken to and based on what you see, how do you think that plays out? I mean, still, lots of amazing opportunities in front of them, but in terms of him as a potential long-term or permanent head coach, how much of a shot would you give him?
Right now, probably 10%. Yeah. You know, I think it's a lot of big names going to be out there on the market. And as good of a job as he's done, I think you'd have a hard time finding a lot of interim coaches in this league in the last decade who've done well when they've gotten a job full time. I mean, the list is pretty short. And so I do believe that they'll probably make a run at Jim Harbaugh. And he's tight with Mark Davis, the owner there. There's plenty of guys out there from the Kellen Moores, the Eric Bieniemies, the Byron Leftwiches. There's a ton of coaches out there who've been waiting for the opportunity. But, I think that it's going to be tough for him to get that job unless he just ends up holding the Lombardi Trophy in February.
Jeff Chidiha joining us. All right, so Kansas City had manhandled the Raiders twice this season, and we talked about that. In terms of their defense, they had a tough time to end the season, the regular season, but they played much better of late. When you look at Kansas City and you look at them defensively, what kind of thoughts do you have right now?
I have questions, and I had questions when they were on that 8-game winning streak and they were playing so well because they didn't see Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. They saw Dallas, but Dallas didn't have Amari Cooper. CeeDee Lamb got hurt in the game. Dak was, you know, in that slump that he'd been in. And so, really, they'd beaten up on a lot of teams like Denver with Teddy Bridgewater, the Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger, the Raiders, obviously. And so, I wanted to see them against a really good offense. And when they saw the Bengals, it was a different story. And when they saw Denver on Saturday, Drew Lock, it was a different story. So, my concern there is that if Chris Jones isn't playing out of his mind, that defense is a different defense. And so he's the key for everything there. When he moved the defensive tackle, they got better. When he hasn't been making a ton of havoc. They haven't been good. So they got to get him going for the postseason.
Right. So what about the other side of the ball? Earlier this season, Patrick Mahomes did not look anything like Patrick Mahomes when it came to turnovers. Now he's got one interception in his last five games. So what was happening earlier in the season, and what do you think has changed since then for him?
Well, I think what changed was that teams were obviously taking away the deep stuff, playing a lot of too high safeties. That's why I was laughing what the Raiders were doing, because I said their defensive coordinator, Gus Bradley, he was too high. He didn't have a too high approach. He was just too high in how he defended them, because they were scoring a lot of points against that defense. And I think Patrick Mahomes realized, let me take what people give me. Let me throw the ball to players like Byron Pringle and Mecole Hardman and Demarcus Robinson and Darrell Williams and checkdowns. And he got comfortable with that. He wants to be an aggressive quarterback going down the field, making big plays. But now he's found a way to accept driving the football. The only thing I'll say about that is what made them special was that quick strike ability. And without that, they aren't as imposing to opponents as they would have been in previous years.
Right. Jeff Chidiha joining us. All right, so I had Bills safety Jordan Poyer, as I mentioned on the program last hour. You know, Buffalo, Jeff, took a lot of heat earlier this season when they were losing to the Colts, the Pats, the Bucks. How do the Bills look to you right now?
I'm a big fan of the Bills right now. And it goes back to watching them play against Tampa in the second half of that game they lost in overtime when Brady hit Breshad Perriman for a game-winning touchdown pass. And they were getting their butts kicked. They were down 17 points. Josh Allen was getting blitzed like crazy. And somehow, some way, he found a way to will that team back into that game. He ran for 100 yards. He threw for 300. And I thought that could be a turning point for them. And ever since that point, a game in which they didn't hand the ball to the running back once in the first half, they've rediscovered the power of the running game. They've gotten Devin Singletary more carries. And Josh Allen has become a more consistent player. He had one tough game against three interception game a couple weeks ago. But overall, you go into New England and you throw for 300 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. That tells me you're on the right track. So I like where they're going right now with what they're doing offensively.
I do, too. Now, you mentioned Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has won 7 of their last 8, right? So normally when you see a run like that, you think that's a team that's peaking at just the right time. But does it feel that way to you with the Bucs?
It doesn't. And as much as I'm a Tom Brady fan, I've known him for a couple of decades. He's a Michigan guy like me. If he wins the championship this year, what they've been going through, that would be his greatest feat, because you lose Chris Godwin, you know, Leonard Fournette's banged up. I think the key to his success in Tampa and late in New England was he was playing with players he trusted. And now he's going to be throwing the football and relying on people he hasn't trusted as much as the Godwins, the Fournettes, the Mike Evans. I know Fournette's going to be back in it. And so it's just going to be a lot harder. And when you have what happened with Antonio Brown, with that whole strip show meltdown, you know, whatever it was, I think that kind of drama at this point in the season has a ripple effect on the team. And they spent a week talking about that, and they can say what they want to, but it affects you. It affects your locker room. And so there are other teams out there who are just as good as Tampa, and I think those teams are probably more mentally stable right now than Tampa is.
So, Jeff, quick sidebar. You mentioned the fact you're a good Michigan man. How about Jim Harbaugh? Like, what's your gut tell you? What do you think that he wants at this point in his career? What do you think that he does?
I think he wants his money back.
Right.
He wants that money. He took a big pay cut last year when he was 2-4. So I think more than anything, I think he'll listen to overtures from the NFL. I think he'll enjoy the victory lap he's been on, even though they had a tough loss to Georgia. He did a great job with that program, turning it around this year and getting into the Big Ten championship and the college football playoffs. But I think first and foremost, he wants to be paid. Anytime you see what they're paying a coach in Michigan State, what they're paying the coach in Penn State, what the coach from Oklahoma just got to go to USC, that kind of money, I guarantee you Jim Harbaugh is saying, I want a piece of that. So more than anything else, I think he's going to stay at Michigan, but he's going to find a way to get into that, back into that high upper echelon salary range.
Hey, listen, I'm not on the inside, but it seems to me that there's no doubt in my mind Michigan will give him that money back. They don't want to lose him at this point, right? I mean, I guess the better question would be, is that all it would take to get him to stay at Michigan, just getting that money back?
I believe it would. Let me put it this way. The only way Jim Harbaugh is going to come back to the NFL if he's able to get the kind of deal that Pete Carroll has, the kind of deal that Andy Reid has, where you have a GM working with you, alongside you, who you trust, who you're compatible with, who is going to basically do your bidding, like Belichick has had in New England. And so I don't see him coming back. People mentioned Jacksonville, where Trent Baalke's already the GM, who he sparred with for years in San Francisco. I don't see him going back for a structure like that. Every college football coach of his level, of his caliber, is a god on campus. I think that goes a long way towards making you feel good about life, as long as you get that money to go along with it.
Jeff Chidiha joining me for a few more moments. All right, Jeff, what about, given the way yesterday's game ended, I'm talking about the Rams and the Niners. Which of these two teams would scare you more as an opponent, the Rams or the Niners right now?
You know, the Niners are scary just because they've been in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and they've got some things that, like Nick Bosa, like George Kittle, like Debo Samuel, guys who can make a lot of plays. But I feel like the Rams, when they're right, they're as dangerous as any team in the NFL. And the real question, even though they lost that game yesterday, I think they showed a level of physicality that had been lacking in previous games they've played. It's no secret that they get pushed around by teams like Tennessee, like the 49ers. And even though they gave up a big lead, I still feel like when they get it going, if Stafford is on his game and not turning the ball over, they can beat anybody. So I go with the Rams.
So I got to ask you that. Having said that, as good as the Niners were in that comeback, and as good as Jimmy G was, and he did step up, he clutched up, and you know he's not right physically, how do you like that matchup of Garoppolo going up against that Dallas defense?
Well, I tell you, you watch Micah Parsons up close and personal.
Yeah.
And he's as close as you might get to, you know, a young Lawrence Taylor in this league, in terms of the kind of havoc he can create. That's a great matchup, and I feel like if the Niners can run the football, they can create some issues for them, because Dallas is really built more for speed and I don't want to say they're a finesse defense, but they aren't. They want to get after the quarterback. They want to get a lead and then let those guys like DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory, Micah Parsons, just hunt. And so if the Niners can run the football effectively, it's a different story. But if they can't, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo's going to be running for his life.
Right. And yeah, I agree with you. And you can run on Dallas. You simply can run on Dallas. I agree with you. But that's going to be something. One last thought, and you've been really good on all this stuff and with your time. It was not that long ago, Jeff, that the Cardinals had the best record in the NFC. Do you have a pretty accurate read on them going into the postseason, or is this still a totally wide-open question?
I don't. They're mystifying. I saw them in person in Dallas a couple weeks ago, and I was really impressed by how they played, controlled the game up 22-7. We're all over Dak Prescott, and shutting down the Cowboys' run game. And then they come back and lay an egg against the Seattle team that has nothing to play for, give up almost 200 yards rushing, which has been an Achilles heel for them all year long. I think they have a lot of resilience to them. Because you look at the way they played when Kyler Murray went down, and you look at the 7-0 start, and they won a couple games, and they've had a lot of COVID issues and injuries. But without DeAndre Hopkins there, that's a big loss. And I think it shows up when they need to make a clutch play and make things happen, even in Kyler Murray's body language. There's something that's a little bit off there. So there's been a lot of pressure on him to make a lot of plays, and some of the other guys in that supporting cast, because they cannot afford to give up 190 yards rushing to any of these teams, because they will lose in a hurry.
I think that's really interesting what you just said about Kyler's body language, because I love the guy. I mean, I'm an enormous Kyler Murray guy. I love the guy. But I got to be honest, I have not loved his body language the last few weeks. I think it's interesting that you said that. What do you make of it when you see that?
I think it's a young quarterback who is super talented, who's used to doing whatever he wants to do on the field, and is – really had a lot of success. He would have been the MVP if he had stayed healthy and stayed on the track he was, the trajectory he was on when this year started. And I think he's just not used to having to struggle. And so in some ways it reminds a little bit of Cam Newton. And I don't know if it's necessarily it's not a bad thing, so to speak. I think it's more of he doesn't understand how that projects to everybody else. I think he's frustrated. He wants to do well. But that look he can have, that in his eyes and his slumped shoulders, that goes a long way towards affecting people around you. And when you're a young quarterback, you got to understand that can happen.
Hmm. He is an NFL.com senior columnist. He is an NFL Network on-air talent. He has won an Emmy, a Sports Emmy Award winner. Good friend of the program, a panelist from our daily TV show way back in the day. Jeff, good to have you back. I really appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Hey, always a pleasure, man. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Jeff. Great talking to you. Appreciate the friendship. Jeff Chidiha, really talented.